lifted up my eyes unto the Lord. I have lifted up my eyes to the Lord.
Thank you, Master. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We glorify. We worship. The presence of God is a fertile ground for the power of God. And I welcome you all in Jesus' precious name. Third John verse 2. Welcome and welcome in Jesus' name. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Subject is underlying factors that affect divine health. Underlying factors that affect divine health. Our objective is to understand those factors that may move the saint out of divine health, out of the status of divine health, the factors that may move someone out. The scriptures made it clear that it is God's will for his children to live in perfect wholeness and health. God's will is for his children to live in perfect wholeness and health. Beyond that, the scriptures show us men and women of the Bible who lived in strength, lived in health, lived in vitality because of their covenant relationship with God. We saw Abraham. We saw Isaac. We saw even Job. Even though affliction came, yet it was overcome. And Job lived to be so many years before he eventually passed. But we see there are situations that can make the child of God step out of health. Or anybody at all, step out of health. Especially when scriptural principles are violated, that can make us step out of health into ill health. And we are going to be looking at those factors this morning. And once we are through, we'll be trusting God to touch us. Number one factor that affect divine health is what I'll call the spell of bitterness. The spell of bitterness or unforgiveness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, the Bible said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Matthew chapter 18 verse 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses, there is something called the ministry of the tormentors. Mark chapter 11 verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So I'd like you to note the following. Number one, the root of bitterness in the heart translates into the fruit of trouble in the body. The root of bitterness in the heart translates into the fruit of trouble in the body. When the heart is bitter, the body recognizes it as something is wrong. There is a signal in the system that says something is wrong. The body does not know how to translate that signal except to translate it into sickness. Did you hear what I just said? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And the translation of what is wrong from the spirit and wrong from the mind manifests as an ailment in the body. One of the little books I wrote many, many, many years ago, titled Jehovah Rapha, Little, God Your Healer. This was clarified in it. In the body, in the spirit, the man is bitter. In the mind, the man is bitter. The body translates it as something is wrong. So that wrongness is a sickness. I'd like you to get this. The second thing to note is that bitterness gives invitation to the assignment of tormentors. He said his Lord will hand him over to tormentors. That is what will happen to everyone who does not forgive his neighbor. Tormentors. We read that in Matthew chapter 18 verse 34 just now and 35. So when a man walks in bitterness, demonic spirits are on assignment called tormentors, and they impart torment. Third thing to note is that the prayer for healing may not be answered in the presence of unforgiveness. The prayer for healing may not be answered in the presence of bitterness. He said, and when you stand praying, forgive. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you. If you stand praying, forgive. Mark 11, 25. So that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you stand praying, forgive. One man, woman was trusting God for the fruit of the womb for between 11 and 14 years, I can't remember, stood in a prayer line, I think it was in Kano, and the man of God, as he was about to pray, he said, woman, go and forgive your husband. Whatever it was, no one knew. And God will give you your children. She went and forgave her husband, and God gave her her children. I was in my office in Area 1. I don't know if this is not up to 15 years now. And a young lady came with two crutches. Just hopped on the crutches to come. And I was about to pray for her. And I said to her, well, before I could start praying, I said to her, you need to forgive. Just go and forgive. Just go and forgive. And she told me. Now, she was about to get married. And then had a terrible accident on this road. on the airport road, I'm talking about 10, 15 years ago, and broke the two femoral bones, these big thigh bones, broke both of them. Life on hold, marriage on hold, everything on hold. I said, go and forgive. And she told me at that time, she said she had locked many people in her heart. She had locked many people in her heart. She used to be in the choir. I think she may still be in the choir. Trying to remember the name of the husband. Husband used to work in a restaurant. If I remember, I'll let you know. And so, she left me. Next time I saw her, she was on the altar with her two legs, dedicating their first child. I said, what happened? She said, you were the one who told me to go and forgive. I went and forgave, and the bones got healed. And then the marriage went forward, and the marriage held. The man used to work in one restaurant they called Mama Cass Restaurant. Maybe as I'm talking, the person may remember that I'm talking about them or about her. Hallelujah. And that was it. Somebody here may be just one forgiveness away from your wholeness. Some pain you cannot understand. Just release somebody. And you will be shocked. You won't know where it went. Am I communicating? This bitterness can also cause mental condition. Daisy Osborne talked about how they went to Kenya for a crusade, and then a young lady was in the mental asylum. This girl was in a Coventry or whatever, something, they had some wicked robbers and wicked people came in there, brutally raped her, and all those kind of things. And she grew with the bitterness that translated into insanity. Became wildly mad. As they prayed, the Lord revealed the root of it. She forgave. She didn't know she could ever forgive her rapist. She forgave them. Mind came back to normal. I know a young man. He's at war with everybody. Every time you met him, he had one complaint of one person. It started from the person he wanted to marry, and the person said no. And somebody else married the person. Bitter against both the person who said no and the person who married the person. And then every time you met him, he was complaining about one person or the other until he ran mad. But you will never believe that he's mad. Said, can we go to the house? I'm not. Nothing's wrong with me. Look at me. Nothing. He's age 52 now. No wife. Nothing working. Bitterness. Please run from it. Ulcers are traced. Some ulcers are traced to it. Even some cancers are traced to it. If I dwell on only this now, that will be the service for today. If I dwell on this one now. But I have about 8 more points. Young lady with blood cell cancer. Her doctor, a Christian doctor. And I heard this story from a lecturer in 500 level medicine. Christian doctor said, you need to forgive somebody. And that somebody was her father. The father... The mother died. The father didn't explain to her what happened to the mother. All she saw was that she was a little baby and seen her mother being put in a coffin, in a box, and was wondering why is the father putting mother in coffin. Next thing she saw them put the mother into the ground. Next thing, saw the ground cover. Next thing she knew, father has married another wife. And that new wife was not a good wife. She grew up bitter until she developed blood cell cancer. When she realized that forgiveness was possible, and she went and forgave, under 6 weeks, cancer cleared from the blood. Someone say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. My wife and I prayed for a woman many years ago who was so bitter against her husband because she grew with her husband and both of them raised their family together and built things, structures together, struggled together, built their first house, built everything. And when the man felt he had succeeded, he pushed her out and went and brought a young lady who entered into an inheritance she labored not for. And some men can do, they can do despicable things as if they don't have the heart of a person. Now needs a new wife. And this woman got so bitter, she couldn't survive the bitterness. Remember, we talked with her. We visited her all the way in her, we drove to her house. Said, this is too much. It's too much. I can't forgive him. Nobody's action will kill you before your time. Please understand that when you see people behave and especially misbehave, the action may be their action, but don't let the outcome be your outcome. Don't let anybody's action determine your destination. Don't let anybody finish you because of their wickedness. Don't let anybody finish you because of their heartlessness. Today I believe that as we begin to release our offenders, that healing, cleansing, and wholeness will come to people. If you are a believer, shout a louder, amen. If you believe that it is coming to you, shout the loudest, amen. So it is the spell of bitterness that is number one. Number two is the broken hedge. The broken hedge. And this is talking about the guilt of sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 said, he that breaketh the hedge, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. He diggeth a pit, he falls into it. He breaketh a hedge, the serpent shall bite him. Psalm 119 verse 67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have learnt my lesson. I have to keep your word. What is the meaning of this? One, the serpent can bite when the hedge is broken. When the hedge is broken. Through wrong living, the serpent can bite. Second, to go astray is to give invitation to affliction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Until I went astray, I couldn't be afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Meaning, until I went astray, I couldn't be afflicted. But now, have I kept your word? Number three means, keeping the word is keeping your health. I am sure that you remember that disease and death came into the world because of sin by the first man. Disease and death. What Gehazi stole was money. What came on him was leprosy. Am I communicating? He stole money. Leprosy came on him. There are people who are hypertensive from stealing government money. He's busy servicing high blood pressure. Eating bribe, and eating hypertension together with the bribe. There are people who chop bad money and chop diabetes alongside. Diabetes. There was a young man who was assisting me earlier on to sort, that is, help me take money to the bank. My personal money. My money, not church money. Church money does not branch my way at all. Church check is not in my possession for 20-something years. Right? This is money that is mine. Help me take to the bank. If it is 100,000, he will separate 10,000 from it. he will separate 10 or 15,000 and pay 80 or 75 or something. As if he was servicing himself at source. All of a sudden, I realized that my income was dropping. That is what was coming. What's going on, Lord? And I began to realize it means that I was not paying tithe accurately. Because I was paying the tithe based on what I was seeing, not knowing that something was separated. That was when I realized that what this guy was doing. By both the stealing and both the inaccurate calculation of the total income, God said, since there is a loophole, let me reduce what is coming to you until the loophole is closed, until the loophole is covered. When it was discovered, this guy was already in affliction. Oh, Habawai. Ready enough. Undiagnosable burning fire in his body. It couldn't be diagnosed. I mean, just fire burning. He said, please pray for me before I die. Am I communicating at all? There are people bearing false witnesses and accusations against people, attracting affliction on their body and on their system. He doesn't know why he's afflicted, but you lied against somebody, he didn't do anything, you say he did it. That lie attracted an affliction. You give somebody pain in their mind, in their heart, by your action, it may attract pain for you all over. Your action is bringing hurt and harm to the system, to the nation, to the country. Bringing hurt, bringing harm to a family. Bringing hurt, bringing harm. Bringing hurt, bringing harm to an innocent person. That hurt and that harm can return back to you. Good measure. Press down, shaking together, running over. He says, say, give and it shall be given to you. Somebody say loud, amen. Amen. Are you benefiting anything at all? Yes, so let's ensure that we live that life that is void of offense. Exercise your conscience to be void of offense. Don't be a candidate of hurt or harm or pain, either to God or to man. Don't consciously become a channel of anybody's hurt, anybody's pain, or even to God. Because he that breaketh the hedge, the serpent shall bite. That will never be your portion. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. That is the broken hedge, is number 2. Number 3 is what I'll call the wrong mindset. Wrong believing. The wrong mindset. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, the Bible said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your life issues out of your heart. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 27, he said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart. So this is the point. First, the state of your thought affects the state of your life and health. The state of your thought or the state of your mind affects the state of your life and the state of your health. The second thing is the same thing like the first almost, that your thinking affects your living. That is, what crosses your mind determines what can cross your life. Your thinking affects your living. What crosses your mind affects what can cross your life. And thirdly, Job chapter 3 verse 25. Job chapter 3 verse 25. The Bible says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. The thing I greatly feared. What is the meaning of that? The fear of a thing connects you with the thing you fear. The fear of a thing connects you with the thing you fear. Let me make it direct. The fear of disease connects you with the disease you fear. Many people are sick today and afflicted today, not because the devil was too powerful, but because there was a fear that has lingered. There is a fear that has lingered for a long time. A man testified here some time ago, an honorable from Enugu Church, altar honorable. His friend had prostate cancer and died. I'm sure you remember the testimony. After he went for the funeral, am I correct? On the way back, the symptoms started in his body. He got to the hospital, it was confirmed, it was cancerous. He said, no way, this cannot be. Prayer was prayed, the fear died until that thing roasted and returned back to hell. That somebody in your family died from a particular disease is not a license for you to die of the same. He didn't say the just shall live according to the experiences of the people around them. He said the just shall live by his faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The just shall live by his faith. The fact that somebody you know experienced something doesn't mean you must experience it. No way. Herod took James and beheaded it. Herod took Peter. He beheaded him. For where? Peter is not James. What happened to James? It is when we go to heaven that we shall know. But as for Peter, he cannot die like that. Am I communicating? If your name is Peter, don't agree to die like James died. Am I communicating at all? Young lady, many years ago, she said she nursed an aunt aunt of hers that died of a terminal disease. She was the one who stayed with her in the hospital. She feared the same disease in her heart until the disease appeared 20 years later. The same affliction. Am I communicating? Anything you don't fear will fear you. Hallelujah. Hey! 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 You must make up your mind. You need some level of restless, some level of radicality and rascality to deal with the devil, because the devil is a rascal. You need that level. I was in medical school when I went to toilet. Blood came out. I said, devil, you are a bastard. Is that excess blood or what? Go to hell. At that time, I was more. If you catch me at that time, I'm smiling too much now. That thing died the same day. It didn't last a second day. Died the same day. We're checking our blood pressure in the laboratory, in physiology laboratory. Check my own, I check your own, medical students. The blood pressure is high. Who? Me? Drop it. It's not possible. That was the last time I neared the blood pressure machine. Till I graduated, I just kept on, just moving. Come and tell me rubbish. I'm not under any form of pressure. Young man, God forbid. One of the days I was going to the airport here, and some people put their equipment, airport measuring machine and all those body parameters. And they say, hey, daddy, how many of you have seen it before? Oh, daddy, this is what we do for a living. Can you bless us with this thing by us checking your blood pressure? I said, all right, check it. They checked it. It's 118 or 120 over 78 or 80. Perfect, cool blood pressure. Despite all this traveling, despite all this heated intense, am I communicating? Normal, basic, normal. Beloved brothers and sisters, today, anything that is a mindset in your heart, any fear that is a fear around your life, I declare that fear dies right now. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Whatever fear is in your heart, the fear of whatever it is, I declare it die to its roots right now. In the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand, say, in the name of Jesus, I shall fulfill my days. I am not afraid of the devil. I am not afraid of affliction. What happened to other people can never be my portion. I shall fulfill my days. I am in health in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder amen. So if you want to live in health, permanently deal with fear. Because for as long as we live in this world, the devil will show you one picture or the other, show you one symptom or the other. You woke up with one thing or the other, one suggestion or the other. For as long as we live in the flesh, he will show you something. One of our workers here woke up. I think she said that she had dreamt a dream of death. And then after the death dream. Next thing is very, very terrible growth in the breast. The first thing the devil says is, this is cancer of the breast. And you know, once such kind of mentality and such kind of thought crosses and is not crushed on the spot, it lingers and says, sir, this is what I feel. I laid hands, bam, with an anger. Die, you death. That was the end. That death went back to hell. The growth disappeared. Everything. Longest time after that, you say, sir, what God used you to deliver me from was death. 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 Faith is your connector to God. Fear is your connector to the devil. Yes. You are connected to God and what he can do for you by your faith. You are connected to the devil and his disaster by your fear. It's dying right now. In Jesus' precious name. For this morning, finally, the fourth thing, and of course you know how to deal with the fear. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you load yourself with this kind of message and all such messages that will kill fear in your heart. Faith cometh, and once faith cometh, fear leaveth. The cometing of fear of faith is the living of faith of fear. Once faith cometh, fear leaveth. The two can't be together. Light can't be there when darkness is. I mean, darkness, light. Darkness can't be there where light is. Faith cometh by hearing, fear leaveth by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Let's begin to spend our time not looking for more prayer, but looking for more word. Not looking for more, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. But filling our hearts and filling our minds and our lives with raw word is a new day. Final thing that underlies sickness is what we call inherited curses. Inherited curses. And spells. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29 to 30. Jeremiah 31, 29 to 30. Say, in those days, they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's feet are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, it is his teeth that shall be set on edge. My father shall not drink unripe. My father drank unripe orange and my teeth quigilized. You know what they call quigiling? Is that in your dictionary? Do you know the word at all? I think there are some words we have to include in the dictionary. That is, my father is the one who drank the orange, and it is my teeth that is reacting. No, that is an abomination. That is not correct. He said the time will come. No, now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, this thing I'm talking about is very real. When a person comes to a medical doctor and he says, I have, I'm feeling some headache, I'm feeling some this or that, the first thing the doctor does is what we call history taking. He takes the history. Okay, you are sick for how long? What kind of headache is it? How does it look like? And then he does that and keeps on going. And then goes into what we call family and social history. Family history is saying, Your mother and your father, is there any history of hypertension? Is there anybody with hypertension in your family? Anybody diabetic? And it's just going on and on. What he wants to establish is to establish if there is a pattern. Because hypertensions most times will run in families. Most times, not all the time. Okay, the father is hypertensive and the mother is hypertensive also. I mean, in all likelihood, most of the offsprings, most of them, might be developing hypertension. Diabetes, the same precursor disease. Even we have seen in some conditions where there are the mother had breast cancer, the father had prostate cancer, that kind of thing, and then the children are having this kind of one or the other. Am I communicating? I am saying this to you now so you know the fact first. Then we can use the truth to deal with the fact. Even mental illness runs in families most times. Is there anybody who has been mad in your mother's line or father's line or those kind of things? And then, and then you have this one is schizophrenic, this one has bipolar disorder, manic depressive illness, all coming from some lineage, something traced. Allergies. The mother cannot eat some kind of food. Then the child is reacting to some kind of things in the air. He cannot breathe well. It's asthmatic. The allergies. Somebody is reacting to something. Somebody cannot, something can't touch somebody's body. And you trace it. Somebody along the line has a reaction to something. It may be something different, but there's a reaction to something along the line. Am I communicating? So this exists. That's why doctors recognize that. That's why they take that. Then they can say, okay, we are dealing with a positive, they call it a positive family history of hypertension. So we are not surprised that this one also has hypertension. Now, how is this relevant to you? It is relevant to you when you discover the history that has been established in your family, you deal with it with the word. You deal with it. Once you have an idea of the pattern. There are certain things that I saw afar off. And that I looked at afar off and I dealt with afar off. Now you look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 14 and 15 and I'll be rounding off somewhere there. You see, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. I cannot suffer my father's hypertension. I cannot suffer my mother's diabetes. I cannot suffer my uncle's ulcer. I cannot suffer mental illness. If any man is in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. I have given my life to Christ. I am a new creature. I cannot inherit liabilities from my father's line. I am an asset to my generation. I am transmitting generational blessings to my generation. And you war against it and fight it and resist it. Is there somebody ready to do that? The devil is a law. The devil has, I don't know how to put this now. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He deals so much on legal grounds. The father did, forefathers did this. So and so people did that. So he couldn't be free. So you match law with law. When a lawyer is quoting a relevant section of the constitution and authorities, another lawyer comes up from another angle and says the law also says this and says that and says that. Oh yes, yes. Your forefather did this. Your mother had hypertension. Your father had this, and your ancestors had this. You are meant to have that. You say the devil. You are a bastard liar. I am a new creature. I am not working by the genetics of my father and the genetics of my mother. I am working with the genetics of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? If anybody is in Christ Jesus, did you hear what he said? We are regenerated. We have been regened. regened, new gene. The gene that can die before his time. I have been changed from that gene. I have been regened, regenerated. Poverty cannot be my portion anymore. Even if it was the portion of my family members. Premature death cannot be my portion. Cancer cannot be my portion. Hypertension cannot be my portion. Diabetes cannot be my portion. Prostate disease cannot be my portion. Ovarian cancer cannot be my portion. Ovarian disease cannot be my portion, because I have been regenerated. My gene has been transformed. I have a genetic engineering was done on my life and changed my constitution. Stand on your feet with a shout of victory. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffered violence. And the violent taketh it. The devil does not care what belongs to you, for as long as you are not ready to take it by force. Satan, I take my health by force. I take my wholeness by force. I take my healing by force. I take my freedom by force. I take my liberty by force. Remain standing. My counsel, so that we can have a little time and pray. Number one, be determined to remain connected to the word for the guarantee of your health. Remain connected to the word of God to guarantee your health. Remain connected to the word of God. Psalm 107 and in verse 20, he sent forth his word. And heal them. And deliver them. And deliver them from their destructions. Be determined to remain connected to the word for the guarantee of your health. Number two, refuse to be the victim of any of the underlying factors that affect health. Refuse to be a victim. Refuse to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5, he said, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We were regened. Today there is going to be a gene therapy. You know, there are some conditions where they do gene therapy to just delete certain things and make the person begin to function according to another set of instructions. The gene is more like an instruction to the body how to live that is acquired and inherited from ancestors. We have been regenerated by the Holy Ghost. I told you I have 8 points, but I'll stop here. In the second service, we'll deal with other four. All those deals with the spell of depression, the wrong lifestyle, the wrong speaking, because there are those who are sick because of their mouth sickening them, and what we call demonic arrows. It's a different dimension from inherited curses. If you are in this service, pick up the second service message as well, so that you can have the complete picture of all the underlying factors that may affect your health. So that you can have the whole picture. Now lift up your hands everywhere you are and appreciate God for his word to you this morning. Appreciate God for his word to you this morning. Honor him, worship him, adore him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Thank him for the word you heard. Thank him for his word to you. Thank him for his word to you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands and say, Father.
Father.
Dr. Mr. Nenche wrote a book titled, Am I Bitter? I think it's a question that we can ask ourselves. Am I bitter? Because it is possible that there is a deep-rooted bitterness and unforgiveness, and you are not aware. You are not aware that you have any challenge until they mention the person's name. Until you pass around that side. Lord, deliver me from the root of bitterness. Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I ask that you will expose in my heart and in my life today every root of bitterness. And Lord, I receive complete deliverance from the root of bitterness today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Father, I receive, I ask that you reveal every root of bitterness. And deliver me from every root of bitterness. Expose and deliver me from every root of bitterness. Expose and deliver me from every root of bitterness. Expose. In Jesus' name. While the prayer is on, if you actually know people you need to release and forgive, just release them from your heart. And the Holy Ghost will be bringing up things in your mind that you need to release and relieve. The second thing is, Lord, I ask that you cleanse me of any sin. Anything in my life that is a root of affliction. Have mercy. Forgive me. Release me. Lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
I am sorry. If there is any broken hedge
around my life
that gave any license to the enemy to access my life. I am asking, Lord, that you cleanse me, forgive me of every sin, every guilt, every fault, every weakness, every error, every mistake that may have exposed me to any affliction. I receive forgiveness now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name,
Lift your hands in your voice and say, Father,
Father,
I ask that you cleanse my mind from every wrong mindset,
every wrong belief.
Cleanse my mindset. With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
From every wrong mindset.
From every wrong mindset.
Every wrong believing.
Every wrong believing.
And right now.
And right now.
I reject the spirit of fear.
The spirit of fear.
The fear of disease.
The fear of disease.
The fear of premature death.
The fear of premature death.
I reject you.
I reject you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Shalabai. I reject the
fear of death.
This final one, I want you to pray with all brutality. It's a curse renouncement. I reject any ancestral curse. I reject inherited disease. I reject inherited affliction. I refuse to carry the liabilities of my father, the liabilities of my mother. I refuse to. I refuse to. Lift your voice, your hands to your face and say, Father,
Father,
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
To surrender
my life
completely
to you.
And today
I come
to refuse
and reject.
Mashallah. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the cross of Calvary.
And the cross of Calvary.
Every ancestral.
Every ancestral.
Generational.
Or
familial.
Or familial.
Inherited.
Disease.
I reject.
Inherited.
Hypertension.
Inherited.
Diabetes.
Inherited.
Mental situation. Inherited. Cancer.
Every inherited.
Affliction.
I reject.
Every liability
from my father's house,
I reject
today.
In the name of Jesus,
I receive
my freedom,
my liberty.
I shall live,
fulfill my days,
good health.
I receive my liberty.
Open your mouth and pray. Precious name. Lift up your hands and receive your health. Say, I receive my health today.
I receive my health.
I receive my health.
I receive my health.
I receive wholeness.
I receive wholeness.
I receive liberty.
I receive liberty.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Lift your hands and let's also pray for our country. Every foundational curse placed on Nigeria that is responsible for the disease of povertitis. We command the foundational curse broken. Every curse at independence, every curse that has made a group of people think that they are superior to other people, we command it broken. When you have various tribes in this country, and yet just one segment, tiny segment strangers who arrived not too long ago, that makes anybody behave like that is what we call the delusion of grandeur. It's a psychiatric symptom. Grandiose delusion. Father, we receive freedom from foundational afflictions in Nigeria. Lift your hands. And say after me, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive deliverance,
as
a nation,
from every foundational curse, covenant, challenge
that has imposed,
upon Nigeria,
the disease of poverty,
of retrogression,
of retardation, of underdevelopment. Of the superiority, so-called superiority, of a minority, of a nation. Now begin to receive what God has for you. Receive it. Just thank Him and receive it right now. Open your mouth and just begin to receive. I see the hand of God. I see the fire of God. That's right. What God is about to release this morning is raw fire. Raw fire on afflictions. Raw fire on altars. Altars that sponsor afflictions. Raw fire on symptoms of cancer, of hypertension, of diabetes. That's right. It's already burning. Raw fire. Lift your voice and your hands and begin to receive.
and lay your hands upon me, Lord. Please lay your hand. Please lay your hand. Oh, Lord. I need your hand.
Lift your hands and receive the fire. Father, let the fire burn. Every root of bitterness, let the fire burn. Every affliction that came from carelessness, let the fire burn. Every demon of fear and every wrong mindset, let the fire burn. Every ancestral curse, every generational altar, every family altar, and everything that is responsible for the pains and the hurt and the affliction of the people, let the fire burn now. Lift your hands. And when I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you place your hand on your head and scream fire at the top of your voice. Father, let the fire burn. Let the fire change somebody's story. Change somebody's life. Change somebody's history. Let the fire burn. Let the fire burn. Are you ready for that fire? In the name of Jesus, the fire will burn the affliction, burn the disease, burn the fear, burn the calamity, burn the challenge. Let the fire burn right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3, fire!
Father, we give you the adoration. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. I see ulcers healed, and I see bone conditions healed. I see migraines and hypertension healed. I see lower back conditions healed. I see breast lumps disappeared. Pains in the breast that couldn't be diagnosed disappeared. I see diverse healings of diverse pains here. Movement in the body that couldn't be diagnosed just moved out right now. Within 5 minutes, we'll be able to take some. But we may not be able to take all except the next service. And so wherever you are, step forward if something happened. Check to yourself. And also if you got an encounter just now, God, open your eyes to see something, to experience something, let us know. Give the Lord a big clap as they come forward here. Take your seat.